You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Yeah, apparently, speaking of baseball, we had some baseball going on last night. It was neat that the league, finally, they did something right. They had the Mets playing the Yankees on 9/11.
Yeah.
That was smart. That was good. I know, you know, Elmer, who owns Wildcat.
Yeah.
His son and his wife were at the U.S. Open, went to the U.S. Open.
Oh, they did?
U.S. Open tickets? Like
expensive.
$5,000 to get in.
Per ticket?
Yeah, per ticket. Like stupid money to get into
they
that.
They say U.S. Open is one of the coolest things yes. you can see, that the venue's great. I had no idea it was that expensive.
It's stupid.
How was that?
So
was
they
that
went
good?
To, I think they went to some of the final matches. I don't know if they saw, but they while they were there, they went to, on 9/11, they went to the Mets-Yankees game on Saturday. And so they saw it. Apparently, though, the Mets and Francisco Lindor, after he hit a homer, he's running around the bases and he's doing a whistling motion. The Mets think the Yankees are cheating, stealing signs, and whistling.
Oh, shocking! So yeah. They make noises.
Yeah.
Ah, like banging on something or
yeah.
a whistle or whatever.
Apparently, and then yeah. Stanton homered to tie the game, and he had some words for Lindor, and the bench is cleared. Because you want to talk about two teams that, I mean, they're in the same city and everything else, and they're fighting for, obviously, the fan base and everything else. But, well, they're not fighting for the fan base. Oh, here we go. Stanton and Lindor are going at it, and everybody comes out of the dugout. As he's rounding a second base, he and Lindor are jawing, and everybody comes out. The first one out of the dugout was Garrett Cole. Got to give big ups to young Garrett.
Yeah,
well, he's an Astro. Fine. He's got that Astro toughness in him.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you, and then Lindor ends up bombing one out of there and then flexed his muscles coming out of the, going around first base. Yeah, it got heated. It was good. I like seeing those little inter-city rivalries like that. There's not many of them, obviously. Angels and that's not even really inter-city. But, yeah, having the Mets and Yankees get after it and then having 9/11, having the stuff on Saturday. It was cool seeing some of the different, what some of the different colleges did in football. That was 9/11 on Saturday. Obviously, we'll talk some college football a little later in the show and certainly tomorrow as well. But, well, let's actually get to it right now because kind of a headline, we'll give you the headlines here. One thing I want to mention, you mentioned U.S. Open. Djokovic was going for a calendar slam.
Yeah, which doesn't
happen. Do you even know how dominant he is? Yeah. I just kind of... Well, gloss over it. This guy is going to be the greatest.
He wins yesterday. He's got more slams than anybody.
21. He's going to be the greatest tennis player to ever live.
Yeah.
The most decorated, certainly. But he does not have the love that Federer or Rafa has.
It's so funny, though. It seems like we're saying that like every couple of years in tennis.
Yeah.
You know?
But this guy's going to have the numbers to back it up.
No. Well, Federer did, too.
He did. And
now Djokovic is going
to Djokovic has been doing this for about 10 years.
I watched that. I watched a lot of it last night, the replay. And it just, I felt so bad for his people because he just got dominated by Medvedev. Medvedev dominated. Yeah. 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. And I don't know why I was watching tennis. I was watching, I don't know. I think I was watching the replay. Was it last night that it was on? Or was, no.
It was on
in the morning, right? Or in the afternoon. So, he won more and he's got more than anybody else. We'll see if he's able to get it because I'll tell you, Medvedev made a statement yesterday, but that was his first slam. So congratulations to him. I just want to know that you're okay.
Yeah. I am. And there was a big concern and this actually is no joking matter. I want to take a second here to speak seriously about this. When you have family members who are struggling with different things like stopping the run, fitting up linebackers in the gap, being able to get off the field on third downs, run the football consistently with talented running backs. Yeah, stopping the run. It's no laughing matter. And these are things that can be hurtful. They can hurt the ones you love. They can, which in turn can hurt you possibly and hurt your feelings.
Don't you think it could lead to ear problems? Some eardrum problems?
It can, or just trauma. Yeah. Just PTSD for the entire family, the two dogs in the house,
right.
A lot of us. And it was, cut number 13 here. Sam Pittman, who is, you know, it's one thing when Chad Morris is over there and they look literally like the worst college football team that I had ever seen at one point until I saw UConn this year. When Chad Morris was coaching there, I would watch tape on Arkansas and see a team of terrible ragamuffins that didn't want to be there. Sam Pittman came over from Kirby Smart's Georgia squad, and in 2 years has Arkansas playing like a bunch of rabid dogs on offense and defense. And he talked about the swarming defense. How about the job that Barry Odom's defense did against the University of Texas on Sunday? Here's Sam Pittman talking about it.
They were swarming, and they did a really good job. Our linebackers are really good players. You know, Barry had the idea to go back to our three-man front for the most part. He was multiple tonight, but for the most part in a three-man front going back from last year. Felt like we could stop the run that way. We had so much respect for Robinson and still do, obviously. But that's the way that Coach thought he could win the game on defense, and our team bought into that. And certainly the first half – well, the entire game, they played outstanding. But the first half, they just set the tone completely for the game.
It got a little ugly in my house. I'm not going to lie. It got a little bit ugly. It never felt like Texas was ever even in the game.
Mm-hmm.
My wife didn't seem to be very happy with some of the things happening on TV, and it was scary. And I appreciate you reaching out. And it's not a laughing matter, guys. Things like this can happen, and it can, especially if you think, hey, look at us. We beat Louisiana Lafayette. Or Louisiana, University of Louisiana. We're on the way. Texas is back, folks. And then when that happens.
So let me ask you this.
It makes you Hudson Card has to be pulled for Casey Thompson. Do you have something there, Aaron? You
see, why didn't they do that earlier? That was the thing, is that Thompson looked like yelling. he can move the football. He gave them both options, running and passing. And you wait until the fourth quarter to put him in?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Casey, well, and Casey saw action in the first game against Louisiana because you don't want him to transfer. You want him to feel like he's got a place there and possibly a future. But when they're struggling as much as they were offensively and you don't put him in until then, that's not giving that kid some confidence. So Arkansas played right.
Well, my wife wants, apparently she's listening. I never bleeping said that I thought last week's win was big. You said that team was good. Louisiana sucked. See? And this is what I'm talking about. Listen, guys.
Let me ask you this
question.
If you
got someone who's hurting near you, just let them know that that's one game. It's a process. It's not all going to be fixed just because some Greek guy comes over and says, hey, look at me. I'm Steve Sarkisian. I'm going to fix everything. It doesn't happen like that. You got to get offensive linemen. You got to get wide receivers. It's not. Apparently, you got to get linebackers and defensive linemen. Really, an entire new front seven, and having a secondary wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. By the way, welcome to the SEC. That's been the crappiest team in the SEC.
Tier three SEC team, ladies and gentlemen. That's tier three.
Based on the first 2 weeks of the season, yeah. Arkansas played Rice in the first week, and they won by 21.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas played Texas, and they won by 19. Mm-hmm. So Rice plays Texas this week.
Texas is
a 2-point favorite.
Where is it? Home or away?
It's at Texas, so you get three points, five points.
Yeah, maybe a 5-point. Texas minus 5. Or is it Texas minus 18?
25. Okay. Certainly, we're not doing it by results on the field. Because if you want to know the truth, actually, I thought Rice looked better against Arkansas than Texas did, if you want to know the truth. Now, Rice also took it on the chin. Mm. Big win for the Cougs. Way to go, Cougs.
They actually played good football. Start to finish. They did.
Clayton Toon looked pretty good. He was throwing the ball nicely. He ran the ball. They looked like a good football team.
One of our listeners, he
pulled up with a hamstring at one point.
Big Coug fan says, I need to say hello to the couch tonight and possibly tomorrow, too.
Also, he said, call 1-800-TEXAS-SUCKS. See, Cougar fans, not big Longhorn fans either.
No.
Aggie fans, not Arkansas fans, not. I forgot how much Arkansas hated Texas.
Well,
I forgot about
that.
And here's
the thing, is Longhorn fans were probably laughing at Texas A&M when Zach Calzada couldn't complete a pass, like four-yard pass, because he was throwing it 100 miles an hour.
The Aggies look so bad, too, on offense.
Dude, and I know the Longhorns were all kick. Oh, number five team in the country, look at them. And then the Arkansas game came for Texas. And they wish they had Zach Calzada. I don't know if they wish they had Zach.
But Haynes King suffered a leg injury. I think he's, from what I hear, 6 to 8 weeks. We'll find out for sure from Jimbo Fisher.
You're talking about pins?
I've heard pins and needles and surgery.
Yeah.
Yep. But then I also heard it may be 6 weeks, so that was kind of surprising.
Well,
Texas A&M may have a decision to make depending on how quickly he's able to come back, whether or not they want to go medical red shirt or not. But Haynes King was not playing well when he went out. Zach Calzada played terribly. I don't know how there was even a competition in camp. But I thought what was most disappointing was A&M did not run the football effectively. Like, if your quarterback gets hurt, you got two really good running backs. I thought A&M would just go, but Colorado. Boy, they came ready to play.
Colorado's defensive front was it's as good as Jimbo was talking about that offensive line. They couldn't do anything.
They couldn't do anything.
Anything against them. And I thought they threw, but they were running it late when they had to get that last touchdown. I was just so surprised that they just abandoned and they put the whole game on Zach Calzada. I was just shocked. Give the ball to your best player. Give the ball to Spiller.
So this is what happens when you get a quarterback hurt and you have to go to your backup and you have no game planning that you've done. I think what's going to happen, and we'll talk to Jimbo about it, is when he now game plans this week and they do the install today or tomorrow, it's going to be completely different. Like, his game planning will be different.
Well, that's fine, though. They play New Mexico this week. In 2 weeks, they got Arkansas.
Well, it's probably,
and you know what?
Yeah.
Well, that went from an easy game to holy crap.
Yeah,
that's what that game went to.
And Arkansas, and if you're Texas, you're thinking, holy crap, we can't stop the run at all. And if you're Texas A&M, you're thinking, okay, we got a little bit of run defense here. We think we're in good shape against Arkansas. But what are we going to do to score? Because Arkansas's defense was flying around the other night.
I know what I'm going to do. Well, I know what I did. I went to Doc Linville, and Doc Linville took care of this hair. That's right. Doc Linville is 975hair.com, 975hair.com. It doesn't – go to the website and talk to them and see what they can do for you. They took pictures of before and after for me, and it is unbelievable. I had a giant nine iron divot out of the back of my head, and I got it to – and then I had little, you know, mangy spots all over, and it was like, this is just a bad head of hair until Doc Linville got a hold of it. And it takes some time. It takes some time for that hair to grow in. It's hair from the back and side of your head. And that hair, you see, even on bald guys, that hair never falls out. Well, guess what? It's up on the top of my head now, and it's never going to fall out because that hair just doesn't fall out. When it takes six, seven, 8 months before you're seeing results. But when you do, man, it's awesome. Find out for yourself if you're sick of being bald. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It is Overreaction Monday. Overreaction Monday, Tom. I think the most disturbing, the most surprising outcome was yesterday's Saints game. Saints over the Packers. Holy crap. They beat the snot out of the Packers. 3 points. Aaron Rodgers with interceptions. due through five all of last year. He had two in three throws, and one was just a threw it up, and dude caught it. And now there was a ridiculous roughing the passer penalty on the Packers that just was it couldn't have been better form. He just hit Jameis hard as Jameis was throwing the football, and he got a roughing the. He didn't land on him. It was textbook. It was perfect. But man, even that said. The Packers should have gotten the football back. Even that said, they got dominated 38-3. Now, it is an overreaction. The Packers looked like crap. The Packers been in the NFC Championship game. I didn't think that the Saints would be worth a hoot this season with losing Drew Brees and having Jameis Winston. I'll tell you this, Sean Payton is a quarterback whisperer. Sean Payton knows what he's doing offensively.
Yeah. If he can get Jameis to take better care of the football, and maybe more importantly, scheme it up so that Jameis is getting rid of the ball quickly. I think the more you ask of Jameis, the more trouble you're going to have. He's a guy that has the ability to make throws, but he has no filter. Like, he just doesn't take care of the football. He tries to make throws he has no business making. Yesterday, they were efficient. They were careful. It was... Jameis only threw for 148 yards. He had five touchdown passes. He only threw for 148 yards. Aaron Rodgers threw for even less than that. But Jameis did not have a big statistical day. So no. I think it's going to be interesting moving forward to see.
No, how when the game was well in hand, Jameis had 93 yards passing. The game was it was over, and he added some yards.
Other than the touchdowns, the short touchdown passes he had. That was nothing more than a game managing performance. Now, I tell you and I both commented on this. Jameis was quicker. Jameis looked quicker getting out of the pocket, scrambling around. Look, I mean, they're showing him right now running the ball. He looked much, much quicker when...
I think he's lost weight.
Well, he has lost weight. Yeah. He's definitely lost weight. But I don't know that I'd be all in. I think you got to be careful. Last year, we were told that everyone could suck it because Cam Newton was incredible and he deserved to be paid so much more money he got. And then he was terrible by the end of the year. And he's off the team the very next year, even after he was cut, even after being signed. You got to let these things play out a little bit. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be that good. And I don't think Jameis is throwing five touchdowns a game. But if Sean Payton can help, and my buddy Rodney Williams, who's an agent, we were talking about Jameis last year. He said, Jameis taking $1 million to go be a backup in New Orleans is the best move that he can make because he's learning under Drew Brees and he's learning under Sean Payton. And if he's going to resurrect his career, that's the best shot to do it.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, we're one game in, but I can tell you this, I'll bet you Saints fans are excited about that one performance. Alvin Kamara was okay. Christian McCaffrey came back strong. And had a good performance against the Jets. It was the rookie quarterbacks. Mac Jones was just okay. Trey Lance threw a touchdown in a very limited performance limited action he had.
Justin Fields came in.
Justin Fields
and ran a touchdown.
Yeah, he was gimmicky.
Yep.
Justin was gimmicky.
That was just one play.
Trey Lance was gimmicky.
Do you know that Andy Dalton threw one pass over 10 yards down the field?
Yeah. What's a problem? This is yesterday, if you watched any of that game, yesterday's a perfect example of what Bears fans are going to need to get Justin Fields on the field by game three. On a full-time basis.
No. I don't even know if it's going to take game three. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't just pull the trigger and just go, okay, let's
do
it.
Well, ownership might say that too.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Pace has got to know and Matt Nagy's got to know. Their jobs are on the line right now. If they don't get wins and if they don't think Andy Dalton can get them wins – there is nothing to lose by going to Justin Fields. It's going to happen. The question is going to be how quickly. The Texans don't have any jobs on the line necessarily, certainly not a quarterback, but Tyrod Taylor played really great yesterday. And David Culley talked about Tyrod Taylor running the, his ability to run the offense. And I thought, you and I talked about it in the first hour. I thought in preseason, Tyrod showed he had you didn't get to see, the sample size was pretty small, but I thought he looked like he was pretty good in the preseason when you got a chance. Yesterday, we saw him for an entire game, and throwing it and running it was really, really good. And David Culley, I'd say he was pretty impressed as well.
Well, I thought early in the game, we were a little off a little bit on some throws early in the game, but he settled down and, he and Brandon ended up making a couple of plays basically out of the pocket that end up allowing us to get some big plays throwing the ball down the field. But, again, he's a guy that's not going to make mistakes. He's going to take care of the football. That's part of who we are. And as long as he's doing that and running the offense and us being able to run the ball the way we were able to run the ball tonight, then we'll have a chance to do what we need to do.
You know what I've noticed is that when David Culley talks, the mics always seem really hot. Like, I get a feeling he's a loud talker.
Yeah.
David Culley is a junkie. David Culley is a loud talker.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
I mean,
loud too.
I love the intonation that always climbs.
Yeah.
And even
I did too.
It doesn't sound who's a junkie. Elevating.
Yeah.
Who's a junkie?
Did you see the video they had on TV that when he was at Vanderbilt as a quarterback, he was named the most popular player? The fro was lit.
Oh.
It was awesome. And the mustache?
He was the first black quarterback at Vanderbilt, I believe.
Probably.
Yeah. And he had a wonderful afro.
Oh, it was fantastic. And he was named most popular player on the team. He was beloved.
He was voted Mr. Popularity?
He's voted Mr. Popularity. That's one of the things.
Usually you don't have, I don't know.
At Vanderbilt,
that sounds like
just,
it's a,
yeah.
It's
congeniality?
Yeah, it seems like it's a,
it's fine.
Yeah, a swimsuit kind of thing. But,
All I know is that he's popular.
But he is popular.
He is popular.
Well, he's a positive guy. Hey, I'm rooting for David Culley. I like David Culley. I like David Culley. He seems like a great person. I don't know him. But by all accounts, by everybody that knows him, that has been touched by David Culley, they love the guy.
Well, and David Culley says, good, he's glad you like him, because if you don't like him, he doesn't really care.
First of all, let me tell you this about the noise. The only noise that matters to this franchise and this team is the noise inside this building and this room. And that's the only noise that's mattered to us. That's the reason, as I said before, when we went out and played this game today, and if we did things the right way, we'd have a chance to win the game. And we did that today, and we won.
Good for him. Got his first win as an NFL head coach. You know how many places he's been wondering whether or not he's got a job as a wide receiver coach or a offensive analyst or whatever. And now he's an NFL head coach and he's got his first win when nobody else wanted him. That's great. It's a great story.
Mark Ingram said the same thing. Mark Ingram said, you either ride or you die. Right. One or the other.
Well, we don't care about them people. We don't care. Like, if you doubt us or doubt someone, like, we don't really care. Like, we all believe in each other. We all have faith in each other. We all hold each other accountable, and we believe we have what we need in order to have success. You know what I mean? So we don't really care about nobody else that don't support us or nobody else that don't believe in us. Like, it's just irrelevant.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. I think he probably wishes he was still with Baltimore those injuries.
Do you know what this all tells me right now? Well, he did get 26 carries here. He's going to stay busy here. Yeah. This tells me that that Mark Ingram and David Culley and the entire organization has been listening to the show. They've heard you and Dell bash. Aaron hadn't been here long enough to bash the Texans. They've heard you and Dell bash the Texans throughout the summer, throughout last year, during the spring. Hmm. And this is them basically speaking directly to you and the guy, I like to call him the mime, that works the Charlie Polillo show and the Killer Bees. You never hear him talk, so I call him the mime. Hmm. And I think, personally, that this is aimed at you and Dell. Is what it feels like.
I personally believe that you're the one that was on Nick Caserio after the draft. Like, I think you called him some ugly, ugly words.
I'm not a draft expert.
Yeah. And so apparently,
I just agreed with him.
Mr. Caserio, Camp Caserio, knew what Camp Caserio was doing.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of Brevin Jordan's game yesterday?
Brevin Jordan was in a t-shirt. Okay. And I like the way he fills it out.
David Mills, your favorite
Davis
part of David
Mills
Mills? Davis Mills. I call him David Mills.
I don't know why
Mills
you call him David Mills, because it's not his name. But you called Dell Dale.
Did you like Nico's catch?
Yeah, he almost caught that ball. Yeah, but he almost caught that other one.
Now, I like Nico Collins' pick. I like that one. I didn't love the Davis Mills pick.
Did you like Garrett Wallow running around out
Brevin
there?
Jordan, not Garrett Wallow. Was he running around?
Yeah.
Did you see him?
Not really.
Was he inactive or did he play?
No, he wasn't.
He had to be a special teams guy.
No, he was a special teams guy.
Yeah, he
was running around on special teams.
I'm sure he was on. How about in Joey Sly? You had a kicker make kicks.
Joey Sly made himself a job. He made himself a place in the NFL yesterday.
You think?
Yes. Joey Sly.
Two kicks? Think he made himself? You think?
No,
so?
No. I think that if a kicker goes down or a kicker is struggling, Joey Sly is going to be a guy that you go to.
Yeah. I mean, he made kicks in an NFL game.
That's right.
And we'll see how long it takes Fairbairn to get back. But
I hope it's a while.
We'll see how long it takes for him. But good for the Texans. They came out there. They look pretty good. Let's get Derek in here. Wants to talk a little bit of Texans.
What's up, Derek?
Talk something. What's up, Derek?
Hello. I just wanted you guys to help me as a sports fan. So when I'm listening to you guys, to help me better understand. I know you were talking about Justin Fields and a couple of more of the African-American quarterbacks. They were gimmicky. They were gimmicky. And then, with the guys
That's how they used them.
Let me finish so you can help me. I'm calling you guys so you can help me.
Okay.
So, because when I listen to you guys are very smart. I know your dad, not Lance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lance.
I forgot your name. Your dad, offensive lineman or whatever.
Right.
So, you guys have been in the trenches a lot longer. I just want, the Tyrod Taylors or the Justin Fields, the gimmicky. And the Jaguars quarterback, they call quarterback draws or they call options and pitches and things like that. And, I was just Aaron Rodgers yesterday. He sucked, but
terrible.
Basically, I know he's a good quarterback, but he just sucked. And Russell Wilson had a great game. I mean, it's just like action. So I'm just you got a wide variety, of range of listeners, and I just wanted you to help me understand the gimmicky portion of
We will. Well, okay. Yeah, I think Lance used the word gimmicky on Justin Fields because they used a gimmick play.
He's not a gimmicky quarterback. I said they used him in gimmicky situations.
They brought him in to run the ball,
running
and
plays.
Touchdown.
And Trey Lance, they brought in on a third and long, and he ran the ball. Then they brought him in the red zone, and they ran a play action touchdown for him as a package play. They used him as a gimmicky quarterback. So, Derek, I don't know if you misunderstood that. Apologies.
This turned into a racial thing. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like we went to all the black quarterbacks. Here's the thing.
Because they had a package for him that they used his athleticism on both of them.
Gimmick plays, gimmick package. That's what it's called. It's called, if it's a wide receiver, it's called Joker. A lot of times they're Jokers or they're gadget guys. If you are a guy who runs a lot of jet sweeps, you're called gadget. They ran package plays. Gimmicky stuff for Justin and for Justin Fields and Trey Lance.
Change it up because Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to run that play.
It's a way to get that. No,
Andy Dalton is not going to run that play.
They're multifaceted quarterbacks. Now it has not changed. If you watched, and Trevor Lawrence, they're going to do some running stuff with him from time to time because he's very fast. But I don't know what Aaron Rodgers had to do with any of this. But Jalen,
because he sucked.
Well, we'll go through all the black quarterbacks for you. Jalen Hurts yesterday had a great game.
That wasn't gimmicky because played the whole game. It wasn't like they put in a package
for him.
But
I'm going to tell you why I'm starting to think that he might have a chance to succeed. I think it's a relative term. They're running zone read stuff, which is great for him. When Bama had him, they had a lot of pro-style stuff. And when things started breaking down, they do direct snaps and power sweeps and stuff. Mm-hmm. The zone read stuff that is now – so the college football element has made its way into the pros, right? And for a while – when you had zone read, it worked really well with Kaepernick, and then they shut down all that zone read stuff. They have changed it and altered it with multiple formations and multiple motions and stuff like that. And it has become a very real – the Texans used it early in the game for Tyrod Taylor, and it creates – and it makes linebackers – it puts them on their back foot because they're not sure where the ball is going. This is why I think being a college defense coordinator is probably the hardest thing in that and roofing and ice truck driving are the three hardest things that you could possibly do.
What about a logger?
Logging can't be easy.
No.
But gimmicky, I'm not calling them, Derek, easy. Don't be so sensitive. I'm not calling them gimmicky quarterbacks.
Justin Fields ran one play.
They're gadget packages.
It was a package.
They're meant to be. They're meant to get them on the field. It's gadget packages are how they use them. Right. But they're not gimmicky
quarterbacks. Once he's on the field every day, it's not going to be a gimmicky quarterback.
No. But when you have a package plays that are set to be gadgety and gimmicky, that's what it was. And that's how they used them. And I'm pointing out that that's how they used them because that's – you need to have Justin Fields in more than that, not more than just the gimmicky stuff. And that's why I pointed out specifically they had him in gimmick situations. Yeah. They didn't give him a real
shot.
You
didn't call Andy Dalton a gimmicky quarterback?
Because he's not.
Racist. 833 SPN 97.5.
Got me figured out again.
And 92.5. Time for me to talk right now about my peeps over at HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. We love them here. They our payday is coming up. It's the 15th of every month. The 15th and the 1st is our paydays, and they're always perfect, and it's always wonderful, and it's so easy for Laura. And Laura, you know, she breaks down for me exactly what is going to happen with Lance as well, and all of the but her job cannot be easier because we went with HRP as opposed to having someone in the office that does all the payroll for all the people. It just wastes so much time. It wastes so much energy. It wastes so much. I mean, it's not nearly as efficient. It can't, there's now a chance for mistakes. Now our taxes are easier. During the pandemic, it was so much easier because HRP just lent a hand all over the place with everything. They help you get your business back on its feet. If your payroll company wasn't aggressive, if your payroll company wasn't accommodating, if they didn't have answers for you during the pandemic, you need to go with ours because they did it all. So you're looking for a payroll company, this is ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 837 ESPN 97.5. Quick segment here. What was the best game of the weekend?
I think Cleveland, Kansas City.
Yeah.
There was another
one.
What
about college? Jacksonville State?
I didn't see Jacksonville State.
Did you see them beat Florida State on the last play of the game?
Oh, I knew Florida State lost. I didn't know how they lost.
I was watching. Oh, my God. I went to Revelry on Saturday. We went to Revelry, get some appetizers, watching football. We were watching LSU. We were watching the Cougs. And you know, when opposing teams travel, Jacksonville traveled here, every one of their fans was at Revelry.
What do you mean? Oh, the Jaguars?
The Jaguars. Jaguar fans.
Really?
Oh, my God. Well, they have some kind of website that said, okay, where are we going to all meet?
Yeah.
Let's all invade this place.
Road.
It was Revelry. Holy crap. The whole place was, and I want to tell you something about Jacksonville people. They're a big people.
Are they really?
They are a big, big people. They just kept pouring in and pouring in, and it was like, I'm trying to watch Texas get their ass kicked here, and you people are bothering.
That's not what I was trying to watch, Nicole.
So, do you know?
I was trying to watch Texas win.
Do you know what their chant is?
What?
Because I asked them. I wanted to say, "F the Jags," but I didn't start that up.
Oi, oi, oi. Are they something? Yeah. Was this something?
No, it's like, Duval. You know what their chant is? Do you know what their chant is?
It's that Duval.
Duval.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The stupid county that
that's
damn
their county.
Yeah, Duval County,
that the
yeah.
stadium what? Sits in.
It's a huge, huge. Look, every time Maurice Jones-Drew gets a chance to say Duval, he says it. Bucky Brooks, who now works for them, Duval. It is the biggest thing is Duval.
What?
I didn't even realize that's what you were getting.
Why can't we be Harris?
Because we're also Montgomery. We're also Fort Bend.
Harris,
you can't.
Fort Bend, Montgomery. Let's do it. Why?
Duval.
Who the hell cares about their county?
They, I know. Well, they just got beat by 30 by the Texans. Well, 20-something.
And they were cocky, boy. I want to say
they No, they were the favorites coming in.
Well, yeah, they were the three-point favorites. That's why they're stupid. Anyone dumb bet the Jaguars. Three-point favorites when they had one win last year, and it was the first game of the season. They suck, and Urban Meyer sucks. And the first game of his career, guess who's going to suck? Trevor Lawrence, and he did. He lived up to the first overall pick suckness. Congratulations. They took over this bar. I mean, it was like, oh, we got to go. We got to get out of here. So we went to Riel to see
Yeah, he said he saw you. Yeah. You didn't see a game.
No.
You didn't have TV there. No. You could have done it on your phone. But
the game's already over. LSU LSU was dominating McKinney
State. He sent a message in.
17-7.
Your scumbag buddy was in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I know.
So, yeah, LSU was dominating 17-7 over McNeese. So we said, okay, this is over. The Astros were sucking. The Cougs had already won. Texas had got their ass kicked. So it was awesome. Let's take Keith in here real quick. Hey, Keith.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I like this Texans team has a bunch of guys with a chip on their shoulder, but a couple of 11-year vets stand out to me, and that's Mark Ingram and Tyrod Taylor. Ingram is a guy that strikes me as a leader, and you need leaders in the locker room. I love the way he plays the game. I mean, when he makes a run, he gets up like he's mad that he didn't get more. He's got a nose for the end zone. I like what he brings to the table. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor, I haven't seen him play a lot.
He's a gimmicky guy. I'll give you a heads up on him. Tyrod is a gimmicky quarterback.
No,
I know you haven't
not.
Seen him
Don't
play.
Don't say that.
There's
Derek's going to call back in.
There is one gimmicky quarterback in the league. Can you think of who it is?
The gimmicky quarterback?
Yeah.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Taysom Hill's the only gimmicky quarterback. There are dual threat quarterbacks. There are running quarterbacks. There are pocket quarterbacks. The only guy that is a gimmicky quarterback who is a full-time quarterback. Now, you may be a quarterback that runs gadget plays or gimmicky plays. You know, they may bring you in for something gimmicky. Like, I think they're going to do some stuff like that with Trey Lance, because meaning you have no idea what's coming.
Right.
Like you gimmick, meaning this is not a typical feature of our offense. I do think they're going to use that, but he's not a gimmick quarterback. So once again, Derek, I know you, and Derek, you were respectful. I get it. I'm not trying to, it just kind of gets old sometimes. Always people thinking that you're taking some kind of racially biased shots. It's just, I have to deal with the draft. It's so old for me having to deal with this, but regardless, I know you weren't trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, and I appreciate it. The one gimmicky quarterback in the league is Taysom Hill, because that is who he is. Run this, he plays wide receiver, he plays running back, he plays quarterback, and he's a quarterback on the depth chart. He's the only guy that I can think of right now on a roster that is a true gimmicky quarterback. But the gadget stuff is here to stay, and as we have more and more quarterbacks who come in from running, like Derek King, I think is going to be a wide receiver on the next level. I don't think he's going to be an NFL quarterback. But one of the things that I could see them doing is using him as a gimmicky quarterback, just like Taysom Hill, where you have him as receiver, but he can go in motion and all of a sudden step up under center, and you're like, oh crap, we didn't, you know, game plan for this. I could also see that happening. Tyrod Taylor played great yesterday. Mark Ingram's a guy that I thought in the preseason when he got in, you could see he had some juice.
Yeah,
like, Mark still had something left. And I thought he had something left 2 years ago. And when I looked at his numbers last year and I watched him play, he just kind of got – he just got in a situation where the depth chart got too full for him last year. That's all. He can still play.
All right, we got a we're getting a full board here. You guys want to talk about your Texans? We'll do it on the other side. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Time for me to talk real quick about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford is where – you're going to get that Ford car or truck that you are going to love, but you're going to do it on your terms. You can do it on the website. Try to go to another website and buy your car, have them delivered, never having to step on the dealership floor. That's not going to happen. It happens at Chastang Ford because they will do it all online, and the other won't. And, oh, by the way, that you'll get approved, you'll get your credit, you'll get your price, they'll deliver the car to you, they'll bring it to you so you can test drive it. You don't like it, you send it back, you want something else. Here's what's going on now, though. Everybody is customizing their vehicle for exactly what they want. That's happening now. Now, of course, you order it, and then you get it back, and you're going to love it. Here's the deal. You get exactly what you want at the price that you want it at. And that's what's happening every single day at Chastang Ford. You want that Ford car or truck. You want it at your price. You want it to be exactly how you want it. They're going to get that job done at Chastang Ford. It's called ChastangFord.com, or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You're going to love doing business with the best people in the car business, Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, get in here. Thoughts about your team. more than welcome to do that. We'll take your call. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. William was first up. He wants to talk a little Big 12 football. William, how you doing?
Yes. Is this the still the Brock Purdy fan club? Because I'm a bit confused. I thought that based on last week's shows, that's what this was. But you have not yet today mentioned our Lord and Savior Brock Purdy.
Well, Brock,
did it happen? Why the change?
I mean,
the Lord and Savior?
We don't really think that much. We don't think that often about Brock Purdy. But
no.
It looked
I think we both picked Iowa State to win their football game, right?
Yeah, I think so. I thought it'd be a low scoring game.
It was a boring game that really no one cared about. But yeah, it was two top 10 teams going. You know, they won't. Neither of them will be there at the end of the season.
I thought William, just a couple of things went wrong, or we would have been looking at another huge Iowa State win if just not for a couple of things maybe going in Iowa State's favor.
I could not agree more. Those centers from out east, they had insisted upon stealing the ball when it was not even their turn repeatedly.
William, we appreciate you, William, our Lord and Savior, Brock Purdy.
Did he say the centers out east? I don't know the geography of those two schools. East of Iowa State or what? What was he talking? Is inside the state of Iowa?
Yeah. Is there an east? I think everything is north and south in Iowa. Isn't it a long, skinny state?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Well, you're the Brock Purdy guy. You tell me.
Yeah. Well, he's not our Lord and Savior, William. If that is your name, William. No, we know somebody who just hates Iowa State. And just because we both thought Iowa State would win that game. He had to come after us. LSU Brian wants to talk about the Saints and Packers. What do you say, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Good morning. Let's play a little game. I got a hypothetical for you. I understand it's game one, and Jameis, he did good. So let's play this game. If Jameis does really well this year, the word is, if Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay, the top landing spot for him is New Orleans. So if Jameis does really well, I mean, Jameis has got, what, eight, maybe, if it's really good, long career, another 10 years. Aaron's got two, three. What do you go with? You go to long term, he's already got the locker room, the guys love him, or do you forfeit that longer term and go with Aaron, the surefire thing, like, you know, it could be another Tom Brady. I mean, if you guarantee me a championship like Tom Brady did, then of course you go with that. But Aaron a couple years or Jameis, you know, for the next 6 to 8, 10, whatever it is.
Overreaction Monday. Ooh, one Jameis Winston game, LSU Brian, and you're giving him 6 years and guaranteeing a championship or something like that? Is that what you said?
No. I'm not saying if. That's why I said hypothetical. I said if he does well and if you can get Jameis, because Jameis has always been talented. If you can reduce the turnovers, you know, to 15, 17 turnovers, and you have St. Jameis, you know, throwing 30, 40 touchdowns, you know, if he gives you that this year, what are you going to just turn an eye to it and say, no, we want Aaron and not sign you?
We want who?
Aaron. So you're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers for Jameis Winston after one game?
First of all, he's with the Saints.
Secondly, the reason that he's pretty good is I think that he was pretty good yesterday with Sean Payton.
Well,
and so I don't know if I'd get out of that. But
he had one long touchdown pass, but
He threw for 148 yards.
Boy, I think 30 to 40 touchdowns is a lot. Number one,
he did have five.
I know he had five, but I think 30 to 40. Listen, Cam Newton had a great first game too.
Yeah.
Be careful on week one hot takes. The Texans, I don't want to go. I'm complimenting them for what they did. I'm not hot takey out here saying,
oh, I got them beating the Browns.
Maybe can compete for a playoff.
No, I got them beating the Browns next week.
Yeah, be careful now. The 30 to 40 touchdowns, the yeah, if he averages five touchdowns a week, he's going to set an NFL record.
Well,
there's
yeah,
just no way around that. But was he talking
he's
about...
He's also going to throw for about 2,000 yards.
I think there were conversations going on that we've not been privy to. One of them was, the Saints are now the front runners for Aaron Rodgers? Is this what he was
no,
talking about?
No, that Aaron Rodgers is going to leave and Jameis can take his place.
Are you sure he meant... What would be better, Aaron Rodgers with the Saints or Jameis with the Saints?
For a couple years. Oh, is that what he meant?
I think that's maybe what he meant.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was saying if you're the Saints, do you try to bring in Rodgers for 1 to 2 years max, or do you bet that Winston can hold out for another 8 years just like he was yesterday?
Listen, if you want to be the guy that takes yesterday's game and says, Aaron Rodgers is simply not as good as Jameis Winston from here on out, you be that guy. I'll take Aaron Rodgers moving forward, but there was no question. He played terribly, and Jameis played well. But that was, I mean, he wanted to start it off by not overreacting. And then he said 6 to 8 years with Jameis. I think Jameis is going to be, my guess is Jameis will end up being a Band-Aid quarterback, a 2 to 3 year quarterback at most is my guess.
Yeah, I think, we'll see. But I mean, if he plays, has a really, really good year with Sean Payton.
You have to recalibrate.
But you're not, if you got a chance to get... Would you? Okay, I get it now. So if the Saints could get Aaron Rodgers for
That's
2 years
meant.
Or Jameis for six, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers for 2 years.
Yeah, if that's what he meant. I'd take my chances with a guy who's going to go down as one of the three best quarterbacks in history over Jameis now. No. Not if we see yesterday's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not. Not if that's the guy that starts popping up all the time. I have no interest in that.
Okay, we got Longhorn Keith. We got Jack Easterby's calling in. So
wait.
Busy
Bee is online, too?
Yeah, Busy Bee. Jack Easterby's a Busy Bee.
All right.
And so he's calling in, so we'll get him on the other side as well. He wants to talk about young wide receivers. We got to talk right now about Pete. Guess where I'm stopping right after the show? I'm gonna get lunch over there, and I'm a junkie. For his meats, we're gonna barbecue up some stuff because the next couple of days is gonna be rainy here, so I'm gonna barbecue
That's
up when I get home. I'm gonna barbecue up some steaks and some burgers that we're gonna put in the fridge and then we'll warm them up. And I gotta tell you something, you're gonna find your best meat. You're gonna find your best steaks. I'll probably get a pork roast that I can put on a rotisserie. That's gonna be just delicious.
It's a good
right?
play.
It is a great play. And I'm going to tell you, Michael does a better job than anybody. You ask him for his tailgate package. He's going to put something together for you. You ask him for any kind of meat. The tomahawk. What about the tomahawk steak? Tomahawk.
That's awesome. But it's not just, but there's also boudin. There's also, he's got these awesome green onion sausages you need to try. Pork and green onion. Those were fantastic. We had those this weekend. He's got that. He's got jalapeno and cheddar sausage. He's got the bacon wrapped shrimp, the bacon wrapped quail. And it's also dove season, so people are coming in and they're processing all the dove. Like, people are getting their limits, and they're in there doing all the processing, bacon-wrapped dove. I mean, it's just a one-stop shop for all your entire butchery. They're on eggs. They're on thick-cut bacon. And as John mentioned, you can go on there for breakfast or lunch anytime you want because they're cooked. Oh, Wagyu burgers. We had that this weekend. He's now got Wagyu hamburgers, and they're selling it in the deli, and they're flying out of there right now. People are buying them so much. We made that on the I made that on the grill this weekend. Phenomenal Wagyu burgers to go along with the tri-blend they already have.
It's all over Richmond and Chimney Rock. You want the best meat and you just a great friend of the show. It's Pete's Fine Meats.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.